Welcome to Hazzard County. Waylon Jennings tells the story of the Dukes of Hazzard starting Friday, January 26th.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Was that a young Ernie Anderson you played at the front of the show today?
I don't think so. I do remember this guy as
it
a CBS...
It had that Ernie Anderson quality.
It's a CBS booth guy, and wasn't Ernie only ABC?
I have no idea.
Because he did the love. But let's hear it one more time.
I think it was Ernie.
Okay,
I'm pretty
see.
Good at that.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? I've got to do this. Sorry about that.
I heard him in the
background. Welcome to Hazzard County. Waylon Jennings tells the story of the Dukes of Hazzard starting Friday, January 26th.
But it's not classic Ernie like this.
Women of all my children will make your day.
Fantastic.
Erica makes your day every day on all my children.
So there you go, Ernie.
Man. You know, doesn't exist anymore. Just to add it to the list of things that don't exist. There were guys, chain smokers out in Los Angeles that were usually DJs that they hired to do these promos. And the more gravelly and lower your voice, you know.
Don LaFontaine.
Don was the In a World guy.
In a world, yeah.
And they just were, who is the guy? I know Joe Cipriano is still with us, right?
Yeah.
And he did a lot of voiceovers. There was another guy, a radio guy, that passed away too, but he was a Billy Big Voice.
Was it Sean Hall?
it was not
Sean Hall.
Oh, man. I grew up in that era. I grew up in that era where it was the Billy Big Voices were the guys you wanted to emulate.
I love the voices. You know, one of the great regrets I had is when I used to run board for the Stern Show, Don Pardo's niece, I can't think of her name right now, but it was Don Pardo's niece, was an employee at K-Rock, and I called her once, and I said, does Mr. Pardo do, like, just any independent things? She said, call him up and see if he will. He might say your name for $100. And I just thought, oh, God, how awesome would it be to have Don Pardo saying your name? And I never followed through, and then he died. So, I mean, I got that close to, like, reaching out. But I was also nervous because you don't want to bother the guy.
Yeah. You know, it was – I love those big guys. They're very similar to the old-timey sports broadcasters that were around back in, you know, my dad's day. So
do you have
welcome.
A favorite big voice of them all?
I have a favorite – it's tiered with
okay.
me.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Ernie Anderson is, I think, the gold standard for me because he had the swagger and the attitude, and he had that delightful DJ phoniness
Because of that, he worked when he did booth for radio stations. Like, he did the top hour for Z100, and it sounded from the top of the Empire State Building.
Just, you know, nobody better as far as sports broadcasters. He wasn't a Billy Big Voice, but really, when I look back on it, because the greats mentored him, Vin Scully.
Yeah.
I don't think there was anybody better on radio than
Best
Vin Scully.
A guy
that worked radio and then TV for Boston, Ned Martin. And then the two distinctive guys for the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox. If you can look up Sherm Feller.
Sherm Feller?
I believe
is he related
it's Sherm,
to Bob Feller, the baseball
Sherm,
player?
No. But okay. I think Sherm Feller was his name. And it was, you know, no batting for the Red Sox. Number four. And then the great, great, great guy from the Yankees that was the PA announcer for the Derek Jeter. And he was so iconic that there were Yankees that kept
That's Sherm.
That's Sherm. And
great hat and great attendance.
Being a little kid and going into a stadium and hearing that voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not a classic delivery. It was really kind of a monotone, but like that. And the guy for the Yankees, God, I wish I remembered his name.
It's Bob something.
Bob. Is that Bob Feller? No, that's Bob. I don't know. But anyway, he did the Giants and the Yankees. Yeah.
You want to hear a hot take, an unpopular take, Mike?
Sure.
Is that Charlie O'Donnell is better than Johnny Gilbert?
Charlie O'Donnell?
He does a wheel.
Oh, or really?
Did wheel, yeah. He was a wheel.
And then there was Gene Wood.
Yes, and you know how
do you
he
remember
got,
Gene Wood? That he was one of the announcers.
He was, you know, right? It's very fitting that you would say that because we are going to do Family Feud today.
Oh, we are. All right,
that's right.
For the bonus show.
I mean, tomorrow we're going to play Family Feud for the
now,
bonus show.
Now, you know, I did have a little run-in with Don LaFontaine.
You did?
Don LaFontaine?
Did you install something at his house?
No, he did.
Did he get mad at you for mispronouncing his name?
No, because thanks to email and in early 2000s, he did some custom work for a church I was working at.
Oh,
no
okay.
Kidding.
Was he a religious guy?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think he was a guy who liked his money. Yeah.
The children's director had this vision for this video and wanted his voice in it and sent him an email. And I got an email with a recording of exactly what the children's director wrote out, ready for me to make a video of.
That's cool. That's really cool. And he just did it without, did he charge?
I don't think he charged anything.
Wow.
Because I never saw a bill.
That's great.
I just got audio.
I like that. I also, the announcer that used to be at Charlestown Races was Costi Karas. And
now you're really stretching on that one.
But we used to go to the races a lot, and it was a big deal when you know you'd get to hear Costi Karas.
Let me
talk.
See if I found a Sherm here.
The Red Sox.
Let me get it from the beginning.
Okay.
Now for the Boston Red Sox.
All right, enough of the applause. I want to hear the announcer. Hey, holes.
Here is the manager of the American League champion Boston Red Sox, Darryl Johnson.
Really terrible delivery,
yeah.
But distinctive voice.
You know who else was like that? Phil Hochberg, who was the Redskins' Benny voice first, for a million years.
In left field, number one, Bernie Carbo.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. That'd be, I think, 1975.
So a lot of these players aren't playing anymore.
Denny Doyle.
Denny Doyle. God, memories. Hey, sports person who hates sports. I didn't even plan on doing that. So there. So there.
In your face, anti-sports guy.
No, budding for your boy. And then the one I really do is the Yankee guy, you know?
Yeah.
Hello there. Welcome. Very unique PA guys. And, of course, you know my story of almost being a PA guy. I was.
And you know what?
I've done professional sports PA work before.
Yeah.
What's fun about this photo of Sherm is he's got the microphone, but he's also got a bullhorn right next to him.
That's interesting,
that's
isn't it?
Yeah, so
that
like,
is
that
really
how
interesting.
Talking to the stadium?
No, hey, when I first walked into Fenway Park, it was his gigantic. I felt as though there was a massive speaker in center field, and you hear the organ playing and all that wonderful stuff. It's just you look back when you were a kid, and these are bigger than life moments that you experience when you see the green of a football or a baseball field,
nothing
or the
better.
Ice of the and these giant hockey players skating around. Just fun times. Speaking of fun times at the old ball yard, and I know that guy's going to hate it. This is my life, okay? I do this show. I take my kid to school. I play occasionally on the golf course myself, and I follow him at his sports, both golf and baseball. And we now have, it is official, the fall season is underway for the Rec League. And because of that, the lady, Myra, who runs the concession stand.
I had an Aunt Myra. You don't hear that name anymore. Is it short for Elmira?
I don't know.
You must ask her.
She knows me by my first name now and said, thank you, Mike, when I told her how much I enjoyed a particular food stuff.
Did she know you as the snow cone guy?
No, because the snow cones were at a different ball yard.
Oh, she didn't call you Johnny Sunflower?
Johnny Sunflower. This was last night. She will come. This is so old school. Yeah. This is so Americana. It really is. You're sitting there, and as a little league game begins at 6 p.m. down on a little rec field in the middle of Fort Myers, Florida, she will come out to the stands, the bleachers on both sides, and says, folks, let me tell you what I've got tonight. And she makes homemade specials. Sometimes it's a barbecue brisket sandwich. Mm. Sometimes it's pulled pork. Last night, and I forgot how much I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
This is a Mexican treat that her neighbor makes, and I will tell you something. I have never really gotten into tamales, but tamales with that masa and the meat in the middle, yeah, oh my God.
If I'm not mistaken, a tamale, the masa is like a dough that encapsulates the meat on the inside, but then it's wrapped in corn?
It's wrapped in a corn husk.
Yeah, okay. But you don't eat the corn husk.
It looks like a Hot Pocket, right?
It looks like a Hot Pocket.
Hot Pocket.
If you take it out of the corn. But the fact that it's cooked in the corn, and I forgot, I said, this is like phenomenal. It was a homemade tamale that she made for the for all the people at the game. And I was probably one of 20 people that had them, maybe.
How much did tamale go for at the ballgame?
Carla went and picked them up at the window. I was watching the ball game, so I don't know how much it cost. Fantastic. Each serving came with two tamales, and they were plenty. That was absolutely a perfect dinner, and I cannot wait to get another opportunity to go this weekend. I definitely will go to a Mexican joint and have a tamale.
What you need to do is ask Myra if she has her third-class food permit, because I can't imagine that they have keeping a very nice kitchen that is serving hot food at
a
ballpark.
Dare you? How dare you, Myra?
I just don't want you to be sick.
I'm not sick. You know what? My kid was, he's the one that went to Famous Dave's. Much more chance of getting something there, I would think.
Well, I didn't say they had their license either. I just would like to see some paperwork. That's all.
Now, on the flip side, there was another offering, and it
Can't
was the dessert.
Can't you ever just be happy?
Well, this was the dessert offering.
Yeah.
That was purchased for my son. And because I'm off of sugar, I of course obsess about sugar now.
Yeah.
And so what she offered, as well as the tamales, because 'tis the season, she offered a pumpkin pie last night. And I'm here to tell you that it's official. Both my son and me and my wife, pumpkin pie, no longer on the menu for us.
No pumpkin pie ever.
Stand it. I realized how much I really think it's a worthless confection.
I think it has its place.
Oh, it's gross.
No,
it's just
not.
Nastiness. Pure nastiness.
It might be the most extreme of foods, where it's between bad and good. I've had great pumpkin pie, and most pumpkin pie I have had is bad.
Yeah.
This was not.
Did it look like it was a scratch deal? Did she make it?
Here's the thing. I don't eat like I used to eat. So if I eat something that's a bad for you food, which any sugar is, it is. That's just the reality of it. And Carla had a couple of bites. I had a couple of bites. My son had a bite. And within 5 minutes, Carla and I both felt like dookie. We felt like dookie because of the heaviness and the nastiness of now, and pumpkin, by the way, it has nothing to do with pumpkin. It's the spice they put in it.
Mike, anything pumpkin spice is
you've
bullshit.
Heard that.
It's bull.
We get that story every year.
Yeah.
Like we as the morons that we are need to be reminded of it. That's really not pumpkin I understand that pumpkin doesn't taste like cinnamon and nutmeg, you dork.
Mike, if next time you have zucchini, cook it with nutmeg, cloves, and cinnamon and sugar, and that too will taste like a pumpkin pie.
That's it. And But last night, because of the way Carla experienced it, and Josh, you're probably right. Maybe it was a bad pumpkin pie, but I'm not going to have the burden of eating a pie made with something that I'd rather put on my porch and carve a scary mouth into it.
This troubles me because a lot of the same flavor profiles in the pumpkin pie exist in the fruitcake. Are you more of, is it the flavor? Is it the texture? What is it that was so off-putting?
It was the way it landed.
Okay.
It was the way it landed like a hockey puck in my gut. And I said, Carla says, I don't feel good. I said, I don't either. I feel like that. Now, it was probably the tamales along with the pumpkin pie. That's a lot of soft, pre-chewed food that gets
And they're
in
normally
your
not
system.
Served together.
No.
It's
no,
not a normal
no,
meal.
No, probably not.
Now,
know?
I'm going to make a prediction here. Josh has not weighed in on pumpkin pie yet. Josh, are you a fan of the Costco pumpkin pie?
It's great. Yes.
It is. For $6, you can't beat it. It's no, true.
It's better than your connectivity.
Yes. That's also $6.
All right, let me ask you about this. First of all, duck out and duck back in so we can get you up to speed here. Because once he does that, I want to find... Are you getting like a feeling that the stubborn dad has no intention of upgrading his... system up there.
Absolutely.
That's really what it is, right?
Stubborn dad. He'll probably like go down. He'll like buy on Temu. This is a signal booster. That's all you need.
Yeah.
It just goes right here.
He'll buy an $8,000 pickleball paddle, but he won't buy, he won't upgrade to the decent connectivity in the Outer Banks.
To me, if you
especially
have enough...
after we eviscerated you and browbeat you into fiber, we would think that, that our main engineering dude. Yeah. Let's see. He's back.
He's going
to come in. All right. Now we have to address this. We have
it
to address
this. It's gotten worse as the week goes on.
Since we browbeat Rob Spiewak.
Yes.
To the and I realize this is not your domicile. Yes. You do not own it.
He's a guest.
But
I had the conversation last night.
You did. Okay. With your dad?
Oh, yeah. I said.
And how did it go?
I said, when I was here in July, the trucks were out there digging all the lines for fiber. I said, I don't see the trucks anymore. But every time I turn on my phone, I get an ad for Ripple Fiber. I said, you need to call them. I know they leave
Ripple?
Soon for
I'm
Ripple.
Sorry to backtrack, but Ripple is Ripple. Not a great name for an internet provider.
Well, it's Ripple.
And it's called them, Ripple, like R-I-P-P-L-E?
Yes.
And Mike, if you need to reach the owner of the house, it's Josh's dad at ripple.net.
Yep. So I have told them they need to call Ripple and get this move in for
Ripple.
Next year.
Now, I remember back in July when you were in the Outer Banks and we were having some issues with you up there. You had mentioned something, and that refreshed my memory because it was something along the lines
he's
of...
stubborn.
He's stubborn.
And competitive.
Yeah. And as I said, when you had ducked out a second, he probably spent $1,000 on a pickleball paddle, but he wouldn't necessarily pop for the quality.
It's not about the money.
Okay.
It's about it's the being right. And that the internet works perfect for him.
Okay. What if you had your brother?
That's what it is.
My friend, your brother, what if he called and said, Dad, my internet is so much faster than yours? Make a contest.
Are they all that competitive, possible. The Soroka family?
Yeah. Yes, we all are. We had a... I don't know if you've ever played... We played this game. We played a lot of Monopoly Deal this week. I played with my parents, which is a very competitive card game.
Mm-hmm.
Then we moved last night into a game called Splendor, which is like where you collect these tokens and buy cards with gems. And it got into a little screaming match over a rule. To the point that we had to then try to FaceTime my sister and brother to try to get their take on the rule.
Now, you always
no
talk
one answered.
About, you talk about yelling and screaming among your family.
It's not,
are
it's
they
not
really
an anger.
Screaming?
No, it's not an anger. We're just allowed to.
I don't understand. Come on, no. Well, let's call so-and-so. And they're smiling when they do it. I picture that.
Yeah, we're laughing and arguing. So then we're calling someone else to try to get a rule change. And the only people we would trust is not the internet that has the actual rules in it, but another family member.
Is it a simple enough rule that Mike and I could make a ruling on it?
Don't get him involved.
No.
Josh, do not get him involved. Do not get him involved in a game.
Because I read the instruction manual. I read the instruction manual. It went my way.
Oh, good.
I went to ChatGPT. It went my way.
And he has to share that.
But everyone else says that I'm misinterpreting the rule.
I see.
Okay.
Everyone in the chat room wants to know if Ripple.com is owned by Fred Sanford.
Ripple. I don't think I have ever in my life tasted Ripple.
Isn't it a fortified wine? What is it?
I think it's something like that. Speaking of Josh Soroka, this will probably be for you. This is why you subscribe to the bonus show. Mm-hmm. Josh sends out just a little screenshot yesterday that I want to dive into. We will do it in the bonus show because the content will be so disturbing that I think we need to cover it in the bonus show. But it involves that new show, Monster, on Netflix, the Ed Gein story, which is just we couldn't get it finished the episode last night because Michael kept coming in and out of the living room.
Not a good show when a kid is running around.
No, you don't want a 12-year-old anywhere near that crap. If you have a 12-year-old or any kid watching that, you are in trouble. And the gist of Josh's screenshot was, and this will be for the bonus show, just how weird you are and dark you are if you are enjoying that show.
When you get a text like that from him, and I won't reveal what it is.
I love it.
Isn't it exciting? And don't you reply. Mike, fortified wine is what Ripple is.
Grape?
I think various flavors. Here's what surprises me.
Okay.
It's carbonated.
Oh.
It's essentially a wine cooler that was produced from 1960 to 1984 by the Ernest and Julio Gallo Winery.
There it is.
Yeah.
They control the world. I like drinking it.
Mostly I like to drink it. And it does say on Wikipedia, made famous by Fred G. Sanford.
I will tell my dad if he wants me to come back down here again, he's got to get the Ripple.
That's funny.
Yeah. He may, or it may turn into a stubborn, we'll see who blinks first.
I bet Ripple is cheaper than what he has now.
Look at us trying to talk about connectivity, and Rob is still on Ripple.
Well, no. Rob's making a point. I bet the fiber's cheaper. That's the whole argument we had with you for months.
That's right.
Yes, it is.
Well,
it
you
is.
Know what? You guys were right, and I've never been
happier. And Rob claimed that they didn't offer it. And how long do you think they had it when Rob was claiming they didn't have it?
It was years of lying, and I got in so much to show for it because
I don't
think
it was lying. I think it was ignoring.
No, I called. They did not. When we first broached
Calm down now.
Yeah. When we first broached the notion of doing it is when I went to that business BS, and I did. I went to Verizon. They said, not available in your neighborhood.
What do you mean business BS? What is that?
Well, that was because we had the Comcast line that was too expensive and unreliable. That was known as Comcast Business.
Mm-hmm.
And the best that Comcast could offer me in my home for $300 a month was 40 up. And that's nothing.
Well, I mean, it was nothing. Night and day when you did that, and I hope for Josh's sake that he's able to drag his father kicking and screaming. And by the way, did you tell them that their stuff? Do they use it primarily for streaming television? Is that what they use it for? Or
what are
their internet? Yes. Because then down here. Down here in Blue Hair Central, Casas de los Muertos.
Yeah, House of the Dead.
It has nothing to do with internet. It has everything to do with cable television, which is what people... That's why you come down to Fort Myers and you have a small fledgling business. And if you manage to buy yourself a very inexpensive television schedule, you will own the world like the late Billy Fasillo did with the Kia dealership single ad he could buy because it was so much cheaper than larger markets and he owned the auto market.
He would run ads that were like 3 minutes. I mean, he'd buy entire blocks.
Because it was so inexpensive. He
was
able to do that.
Good-looking assistant.
Yeah. And, to a sense, don't you find that... my generation, older people, much more inclined to get everything from the magic box, the telly, than anything else, right?
You mean like information? Or
information, entertainment. I'll give you an example. My friend Mark Silverstein, who worked for the Food Network, got me tickets to see Rachel Ray years ago, when she was a phenomenon, right before she jumped the shark, and it was wall
to
wall.
See her jump.
It was wall-to-wall blue-haired people that mm-hmm. were just, and yeah. I, you know, I said, come on down, we'll go take a peek and we'll meet Rachel Ray. And you know I loved my food people.
Sure.
I've had Duff Goldman on this show, came to our house in Manassas. I've had, you know, multiple interviews. We had Guy Fieri. We've
yeah,
had
more than once.
Anthony Bourdain. I love those mm-hmm. food people. I really, really do. But, you know, that's it. That's what they like. They
you
like
You know
TV.
What? The new TV I got from Telly, the free TV with the advertising bar on the bottom,
yes.
they keep saying, you know, you can play games on your TV. And I'm like, I got enough to do with my TV. I don't need games. I don't need it.
For you know, purposes,
what else you can do on there, Rob?
What?
Work out. It
yeah,
also
you can
keeps
work
advertising
out.
Fitness.
Yeah, that's great. All right, thanks.
I got a lecture at the wellness check this week. Excuse me, I got
about your throat.
No, I got a. I got the lecture. Oh God. I mean, I've heard it so many times. It was just like I've lost a lot of weight, but they're right, especially when, you know, I didn't mention that when I was talking about, you know, half the thing being, well, there's really nothing we can do about that at this stage.
The problem with that is
jump into the casket.
You the know. Problem is that the things that you can have something to do with are no fun at all.
Well, I consider myself somebody who, you know, gets out and does stuff, but it doesn't count. And mm-hmm. I am reminded constantly by medical providers that, you know, walking from a golf cart to a tee box and then to your shot really doesn't matter, you know.
When was
that's my son trying to say that he does participate in sports. He fishes. As if that's an active thing.
Yeah, or bowling. Bowling is another good sport.
Do you find, Josh, with your son, and I have another Floridian boy that fishes, do you find yourself frustrated with the love of fishing?
Yes.
I think, I hate it. I hate it. I can't tell my kid
because
that,
because there's
but I
nothing
hate
to show for it, because you can't
no,
eat the
it's
fish?
It's just such a... When my kid is a good student, and last night in particular, when I'm watching him play baseball, I'm watching him get better and better and better at it.
Yeah.
And then he makes his golf team, and I've got, and I just feel like fishing, throwing a line into the water is just so
do they have
useless.
Do they have a fishing team at the school? That would be fun.
I think I would guarantee
some of the high schools do.
Yes. Yeah, I would guarantee they'd have something at institutions around the mental institution.
My problem with fishing is that there's a dozen fishing rods in the garage.
Me too.
And yet it's still, I need another one. And I need a different
you know
reel,
what he's on
I need
now?
A different
you know,
piece of lure.
My kid is on fly fishing now. My kid is, he wants a fly rig.
Oh, yeah, we've been there. Got one.
Like, does he want to tie his own flies?
Probably.
You know what's fun about a fly rig is you then mm-hmm. also need flies.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
you need a place to go out and practice. And then your first fly isn't enough, so you need more.
Yeah, there's a reason why Bass Pro Shops is the size of, you know, four airline hangars.
More like you know. Ass Pro Shops,
I mean,
am I
it's
right?
crazy. It's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane, and everything's overpriced. But anyway, getting back to my son coming in and out of the room.
Oh,
as we are trying to watch Monster, the Ed Gein story.
The Gein Show.
And you're probably not as far along as I am, Rob, but let me just say this about that.
Okay.
The
I made some progress, so let's see if we match up.
Okay. He is... The scene that we froze on was him standing in his kitchen.
Yeah.
And you know what? I got to save this for the bonus hour. I
was there a, was
just
there
a, about to perform something?
Yeah, there was a table, right?
Thank you. We'll
I've
deal with
it
in the bonus
because
it's really I just don't want to do it.
Am
here.
I the only one who found that it. Scene sweet?
You're disgusting. That is so gross. That is
very
so completely
cute and
gross.
Nice.
So after the pumpkin pie and the tamales, we make it. Oh, by the way, a resounding victory. Like they're 2-0 and they're killing it.
And look for They're Mike's really autobiography well. At all booksellers after the tamales and pumpkin pie.
After the tamales.
And pumpkin pie by Mike O'Mara.
We got one guy. We got one guy, and he comes into the neighborhood, and he is the only guy that there are slow drivers, there are faster drivers, and then there is Uno, one dangerous driver. One dangerous driver that lives here. Now,
okay.
I'm sure occasionally a work truck might fly through and it's like, hey, watch out. This dude, this is routine. I've been throwing the ball with my kid out in the street. I have been out in my front yard walking the dogs. I have seen this guy on multiple occasions, and he flies. He absolutely flies. Now, I have never had the opportunity to call him on it, but it's it happens to be the same family that we've had a dust up with in the past, way back when, with them
and
my son playing with their kid.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
This dude, last night, we're driving. Carla is driving the car. I'm in the passenger side, and Carla says, "Oh my God, this guy, it's in our neighborhood." And I look, and there are headlights within. You've been in, both of you have been in my community.
Sure.
It ain't a big place. You know, and once you go through that little, you know, gate and you come in, you know, you're in an intimate little community here. You don't.
Yeah.
And this guy is maybe 2 feet off of our rear bumper.
Even Ed Gein would say that's too intimate.
Follows us in. We take a left onto our street and start heading down the straight road where our house will be on the right. There is one left before that. This guy is so close to us, and then, but when he gets to that street, you see him violently take a left-hand turn, and at that point, Carla says, "You know, it's him." I said, "How do you know that?" Because he angrily took that left, because he's going to race all the way down to get in front of our car.
Sure.
I said, we turn before he gets in front of us. It doesn't matter. And sure enough, it was this guy.
Wow.
And I am going to wait for the opportunity, but I will get it. And I'm all for live and let live, but not when it comes to, you know, my kid rides his bike and plays on that street, and I am ready to deal with this situation. And you know that's the rule. The rule is yes.
What color car does he have?
It was light gray, I believe. And
because you've already got a little bit of red on the bumper, so you could slow down and add a little gray.
No, yeah, we were in my car, Josh. We were in my car.
Okay.
But that looks lovely too.
Your virginal car, Mike.
That looks beautiful.
Pristine. Yeah.
Carla, the keeper of the cars. That you know, that'll be addressed sometime in 2028, I believe.
Yeah. We've talked about your wife, Scrape O'Mara. That's her nickname.
Take a nice luxury automobile and make it look like garbage. Thank you. You know. What happened?
By the way,
the target ball.
The ball is still rolling. People don't know that. It's still going.
Yeah, she's very busy.
I have many neighbors like that speed down the road. And
it's
my
horrible.
Favorite thing now is when I pull into my neighborhood, I put the cruise control on at 25 miles per hour and just relax. Just piss them off.
That's excellent.
It's my favorite thing to do.
You get kids. Come on now. Be careful, people. I don't, you know, we know it's Dodge City out there where everybody is. But, I mean, within your own neighborhood, come on. And the guy's weird anyway. So,
Josh, how does the guy with the skeletons in his yard, how does he drive?
I've never seen him outside of the house, so I wouldn't know.
Do you think he has a car?
Have you been out?
Oh, you're not there now.
You're not there, so you don't know what the outfit of the day is.
I'm sure it would be online.
Yeah.
All right. So we will later in the show today. I want to talk about a very particular skill set that I believe is vastly overpriced.
Okay.
Because I have a decision to make. Is that from today?
Oh, it's Cat in the Hat skeleton.
It is Cat in the Hat today.
Yeah. Thing one, thing two kids and a cat.
What wonderful neighbors they are.
Yeah.
Aren't they, Josh?
Be ashamed if something happened to that display, isn't it?
Josh hates it. That's hates it. I love that. Listen, we got a great show today, and I do want to remind you that here it is again, drinking this one right here.
Yeah.
This is the one I'm not drinking the exact same flavor, but this is the product now from Liquid IV. It is Liquid IV Energy Multiplier. With natural caffeine and electrolytes and vitamins and amino acids. I love it. I love my Liquid IV. And this morning, we had an early day. Carla was up before 5 a.m. She had a huge day today, so she had to get up early. So I made coffee last night. And I'm here to tell you that the coffee that I made, Mrs. O'Mara, I believe, had two-thirds of the carafe, which left me a cup and a quarter.
When you say you made coffee, you didn't brew it. You just set it up.
I put the timer on and set it up.
Good, good. Okay.
And that's why I said, well, no matter, I have my Liquid IV Energy, which can go with my regular Liquid IV sugar-free, or the Liquid IV with the sugar that has phenomenal flavors.
So good.
Liquid IV, you know that. It's part of my life. I drink it every day. You see me drink it every day. And now that summer is done, you need to refocus this fall. Take my advice. Ditch the glitch with zero sugar and zero crash from Liquid IV. Here's what you need. It's the energy multiplier. It's fantastic. Scientifically formulated to support physical energy, hydration, focus, mood, and social stamina. It's hydration and energy all in one, and I love it. It gives you the energy without any kind of that jittery stuff.
Yeah,
it's
fantastic. It leaves the jitters behind, and that's
awesome. And I think maybe it's the natural caffeine that gives you the jitter-free lift. Mm-hmm. It comes in two mouth-watering flavors. The one I'm enjoying right now is the strawberry kiwi and sugar-free. No, I'm enjoying the blackberry lemonade. The other one right here is the strawberry kiwi.
But that blackberry lemonade is good. It is so good.
By the way, I use this for purposes of advertisement, but I will tell you, I'm just about ready to bust it open. Because I'm fascinated by strawberry kiwi. Features three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. One stick, 16 ounces of water. Get your hydration. Get your energy. Zero sugar, zero crash. Liquid IV. Tear poor, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code TMOS at checkout. That's 20% off your first order with the code TMOS at liquidiv.com.
Yeah! Good read. Yeah! Very excited.
Yeah.
Or are you excited about the tidbits? What brings you the excitement?
What, the tidbits? You mean the news that I have today?
Yeah, this is the portion of the show, Josh, where Mike brings little tidbits that will keep you informed and entertained throughout the day.
I will tell you, I'm probably pleased with the kicker today. It's a variation on a very old theme that has been used in comedy circles for a very long time, but that comes later.
You whet my appetite, though.
We start with a follow-up from yesterday's story, 79-year-old Dolly Parton. She wants to assure fans that she is not dying after her sister Frieda, it's spelled F-R-E-I-D-A, Frieda, asked for prayers. Dolly posted a video the set of an upcoming Grand Ole Opry commercial.
A little of the video?
Yeah, let's see it.
Okay, and it turns out she looks pretty good.
Natalie, bring your camera over here. I want to say something. Well, today's October the 8th, and obviously I'm here doing some commercials for the Grand Ole Opry, which is why I'm dressed kind of like a country western girl. But before I got started, I wanted to say, I know lately everybody thinks that I am sicker than I am. Do I look sick to you? I'm working hard here. Anyway, I wanted to put everybody's mind at ease, those of you that seem to be real concerned, which I appreciate, and I appreciate your prayers.
That's basically what you got.
Really good AI.
Well, yeah, no, she's very lifelike, just like the Walt Disney statue.
Dolly's sister, Frieda, also gave an update saying she didn't mean to scare fans. Well, if you didn't mean to scare fans, you should have done it stupid.
Frieda, you've made it all about
you. I don't think it's a lie. I think she's just old and out of touch. I think that's exactly what it was.
Do you think Frieda's a big sister? Because then she's really old.
But then here's her quote after that from Frieda, the sister, who still can't let it go and says, thank you all for lifting her up. No, take your jargon from your snake dancing church and don't. You know, you didn't need to lift her up, all right?
With Dolly, there's a lot to unpack. And at the end of the day, we have to see what sticks to the
wall. But Dolly is an icon. And you come out, you got to be mindful when you're in that orbit that you don't say something that makes fans think that she is dying.
I don't know what's wrong with me. But when you said Frieda, I thought of that that comic book that Ed Gein likes.
you mean the Lady of Buchenwald?
Yeah, that's the one.
you might be more into it than I am. That is I remembered it too.
You did. You remember the title.
The Bitch of Buchenwald, Rob. That's what it is.
Looked like a great graphic novel.
Not even 2 years into retirement, and Gene Simmons is already doing old man stuff. On Tuesday, Gene landed in the hospital when he passed out behind the wheel of his Lincoln Navigator in Malibu. He crossed several lanes of traffic and he hit a parked car.
Was he in full makeup?
He was briefly hospitalized, but yesterday he tweeted, quote,
Oh, here we go.
Sorry.
Don't be.
Thanks, everybody, for the kind wishes. I'm completely fine. I had a slight fender bender. It happens, especially to those of us who were horrible drivers, and that's me.
Gene, I have a question. Well. I have a question, Gene. You say you're a horrible driver. Does horrible driving count with passing out? Is that a trait of a horrible driver?
I don't know why I passed out.
Okay.
Well, was he in the school pickup line?
No, he was not. No, I'm 76. All of my kids are grown now.
I'm just wondering if you called Dr.
Of course, Michael Merrill will be 76 and still in the pickup line.
Yeah, but he's there all the time. There's nothing to pick up. He's just hanging out.
So there is no word on what happened, but Gene's wife, Shannon Tweed.
Ah, they're still together.
In her day, though.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Shannon Tweed said that his doctor had recently changed his meds. Gene is 76, has always been adamant that he doesn't drink or do drugs. I believe that.
I believe too,
that he doesn't do that.
Because drugs and drinking cause money.
Kiss played their final show on December 2nd, 2023 at Madison Square Garden. And now he's out there just
Do you suppose Paulie was at that final show?
Paulie Christine?
Paul Blair Christine, yeah, and his wife. I bet they went. I bet they did.
If there wasn't like a Jaws screening or something like that.
He went to the final concert with Richard Dreyfuss.
Sometimes you don't even have to be a famous personality to make it all about you. Hi, Paulie. Allegations have surfaced that Kevin Costner, who I believe is prickly, got into an on-set incident during Yellowstone that caused productions to temporarily shut down. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the 70-year-old Academy Award winner came to blows with Wes Bentley. Oh, that's Ricky Fitz from American Beauty. That played Jamie Dutton on the show, the governor who's evil. The outlet claimed that Costner encouraged the American Beauty alum, to who's 47, to ditch show creator Taylor Sheridan's script and play a certain scene differently. However, Bentley barked back that he signed up for a Taylor Sheridan show, not a Kevin Costner production.
Oh,
according
snap.
To a source who was there, Costner proceeded to lunge at Bentley. The actors pushed and shoved one another until they were separated. Kelly Riley, who plays Beth Dutton, the show wouldn't exist without her, she was allegedly in tears and production was briefly shut down. Wow. Costner's not a happy guy, right?
No.
Kevin Costner's never a happy dude. He left the show following his death, the death of his character, not following his death.
That's sad, right?
That'll do it too, though.
Kevin Costner left the show following his death. No. Kevin Costner left the show following the death of his character in the season 5 premiere on November 24. The series is set to spin off on what network, Rob Spiewak? They're the best.
Oh, got to be Paramount?
CBS.
Well, CBS is Paramount. There you go.
I just think Kevin Costner's, there are always stories about him being unhappy in some way.
And it all started at The Big Chill when they cut out all his parts except for his slit wrists.
Oh, that's right. He was the corpse.
Mm-hmm. Supposed to have a bigger part.
I forgot about that. The oldest and possibly most haunted hotel in Las Vegas is the El Cortez Hotel and Casino. And the El Cortez is ground zero for a lot of those slot influencers that I watch a lot.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. They cater to them.
Is it on the Strip? It's an old property, I know.
I'm not sure where it is because I don't think I've ever set foot into the El Cortez, but it's old.
They say the second most haunted hotel is the Downtown Grand, and it's haunted by the ghost of feces.
They are offering at the El Cortez to pay someone $5,000 to spend a weekend ghost hunting inside the El Cortez. It actually sounds pretty cool. They will equip you with ghost hunting gear like EMF meters, EVP recorders, flashlights, and thermal sensors. Then they'll set you free to explore the eeriest corners, searching for signs of ghostly activity, especially at night.
Yeah, they also provide a helmet, and written on the helmet says, I'm a moron.
I'm a rube.
Will they take three people?
Mm.
We could go three ways.
That'd be fun.
It'd be some fun bonus content.
Yeah. And it'd be a whole weekend of you guys saying, "Where's Mike?"
Yeah. I've done those. Follow the cigarette butts.
You are supposed to document your experience with photos and short videos and keep a journal of what you encounter, which can include scary, mysterious, or even funny moments. Yeah, we're the best.
Do you think it's haunted by your influencers? Just around every corner.
Oh, could be.
I know. I watched Lady Luck, who I reached out to and ignored me. Mm-hmm. Vegas Matt. He has ignored me.
Ignored.
Bretzky didn't ignore us, but didn't want to come on the show, right? He just kind of gave us a shout out. They're afraid of coming on shows to be interviewed, I think.
I don't think
like there's something not right.
Exactly. The secret's going to get out somehow.
Let's see. If you're interested, you can fill out an application at casino.org. What I was going to mention about Lady Luck, she hit 1 million subscribers. Hey, Jealousy, that's me.
Yeah.
1 million subscribers, and they said they would do $50,000 in $1,000 spins when they hit 1 million subscribers. And I watched it. And it was a bit of a vacuum.
Ooh.
They got crushed. So it just goes to show it is a random machine, people. Yeah. And sometimes even when you are throwing massive amounts of money into it, you don't always hit. So
Do you buy into the notion that the big dollar machines are a little looser? Because they'll tell you that to get you into the big money.
This is what I know, that these machines are programmed to give a hit periodically to maintain a ratio of payouts to losses.
Right.
That's just the way they're programmed. And depending on when that happens, that's what kind of controls whether you get a hit. So the fact that you're sitting on a $25 machine, it's no different than a penny slot. It's just when it pays, it's going to pay. That's it. Now, because you are upping the losses,
yeah,
when you're pumping that money into a higher denom machine, that, I suppose, could influence the payout. But you have to remember that that particular machine has been populated by people who are also pouring larger amounts of money in. You understand? So it looks that way.
I still don't trust the ones that are all electronic with like a virtual screen.
Well,
I want to see something mechanical at least.
There are more of those now than the regular analog machines.
I played Crazy Rich Asians and I didn't win a thing.
They say, and I don't know who they are. But, you know, it's one of my favorite subjects.
Yeah.
They say that the payouts on the licensed machines for Frankenstein or Crazy Rich Asians are less of a payout.
Well, because they're a draw themselves. Although the biggest hit I ever had in excess of three digits was an Elvis machine.
Yeah, I remember when you got that hit. You talked about it.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Ghost Tour, if you are interested, you can fill out an application at casino.org. They are accepting volunteers all month. They will announce one winner 5 days later, and that's when you start planning your trip, which will need to happen within the next month. So you got to be ready to travel.
Sure.
The $5,000 prize includes $800 toward airfare and travel and $500 to cover food, drinks, and ghost hunting equipment.
That's part of the prize?
Yeah.
Part of the prize is paying for the trip?
Yeah, well, they want you to cover it with the $5,000 they give you.
Yeah, you get a little left over, I guess.
Yeah.
When you gamble it.
If you have trouble finding it, Mike, El Cortez is actually a Spanish word. It means the Cortez.
Thank you very much, Rob, for that. I appreciate that. In dog news, a dog named Eeyore. Isn't that cute?
Aww.
A dog named Eeyore flagged down a cop in Destin, Florida, and led them straight to an 86-year-old woman who'd fallen and couldn't get up. Her husband called 911 after she took the dog out for a walk and wasn't back an hour later. It was dark out, and there's chest cam footage of the whole thing. She was awake and alert and eating cake when the cops got there.
That's not true.
She was mostly just amazed that Eeyore led them right to her. Dogs are the best, folks.
They are.
They are the best. They
Even
are
Even if
the
you
greatest.
Give them a horrible name, they don't hold it against you.
Eeyore, duh. Finally, today. today, another Florida story. You know, we can't end with a positive. We always have to give you something special. Mm-hmm. A 51-year-old guy in Winter Haven, that's where the Boston Red Sox used to have spring training.
Nice.
He was arrested the other day when cops booked him into the jail. They found something they had never found before. They got a call about a naked man in a public bathroom, but he was fully clothed by the time they got there. So
that's
they let
how they get you.
Well, they let him go.
Yeah.
Then he trespassed on the on a set of train tracks right in front of him. He just walked onto the tracks. Not supposed to do that.
Right.
And then, well, this is what tipped it over the edge. He threatened to kill a cop.
Oh, that's not what you want to do.
They booked him, took him to the jail. They put him through an X-ray when they got him to the jail. I didn't know they did that, but I guess they do if they're going to really lock you up. That's when they realized that he was hiding something.
Oh.
Up there. Yeah. In his exit ramp, as one of the cops said.
Clever.
It was a thermos.
Wow.
Up there.
Good for him.
That's what the X-ray showed. And
yeah.
Not a little one. It looked like perhaps a 20-ounce thermos.
Wow.
That was up there. They thought he was trying to smuggle drugs or weapons into jail, but apparently it was just a thermos.
That's all.
They immediately rushed him to a hospital where a specialist removed it. The good news is that everyone at the emergency room got free coffee, which I think is really, really special. How is your coffee?
Stayed warm for so long.
Man, oh man. This coffee tastes like ass.
Nutty. So a little nasty. Bit nutty flavor, yeah.
Hey, everybody, how about some wine? Would you like some wine?
I like that. Yeah.
Get a pencil and write this down. Naked Wines is the sponsor of today's show, Graham. Naked Wines is a wine club that directly connects you to the best independent winemakers so you can get world-class wine delivered straight to your door. I feel like I'm walking through a vineyard right now. I really do.
And there's a man behind you with an accordion.
I like drinking it. let's see. Use TMOS for the code and password at nakedwines.com, and you'll get $100 off your first order. That's six bottles for just $39.99. I'm having trouble keeping a straight face. How do they do it? The Naked People bring you amazing wine straight from the winery at up to 60% less than what you would pay in stores. They cut out the middleman so winemakers can pass those savings on to you without skimping on quality. Plain and simple, the wine from Naked Wines is amazing. You've seen me drink it on the show, and I opened a bottle last Sunday. It's just the best.
Yeah.
Every bottle is better than the last. Now is the time to join the Naked Wines community. Head to nakedwines.com/TMOS, click Enter Voucher, and put in my code TMOS for both the code and password to get your $100 off your first order. That's six bottles, $39.99, shipping included, $100 off for six bottles. That's what it is, nakedwines.com, TMOS. Use code and password TMO, six bottles of wine, $39.99. I told you that already. We were talking within the news about Kevin Costner getting into a fist fight. And we've had, over the years, many, many different stories about what celebrities are pains in the asses.
Mm-hmm.
There is a list that Rob has found that involves stars who were most hated. I think I love this because when we consume our media, you don't really know. Are there actors that play characters who are obnoxious and pricky? Yeah, but we don't know what they're all really like. You know, we have theories, but I'd really like to know because sometimes there are people we think are super nice that are actually dicks.
That's what surprised me, especially number one here. I always thought he was well regarded by everybody, but in 1999, the entire cast of Man on the Moon hated Jim Carrey because he stayed in character as Andy Kaufman the entire time and alienated everybody on the set.
Yeah, I think you hear that with actors periodically where they will be so in character that they can't get out. I've always thought that's a little crazy. I always have a lot more respect for an actor like Anthony Hopkins that just shows up and delivers his lines perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's
as Spencer Tracy said, just know your lines and step on your mark. That's all
it.
You got to do.
That's what you do.
Gotta do. Mm-hmm. This one, I thought this guy was beloved, but in 2003, no one liked Mike Myers on the set of The Cat in the Hat.
Well, this is not the first time I've heard about Mike Myers being really disliked on the set of a movie.
These are the adjectives that were quoted. I want to know if you've heard these before. Controlling,
mm-hmm.
humorless, and wow. this is sad, prone to tantrums.
Yeah, that's, not a happy
But he was in
guy.
Character. That's the Cat in the Hat description.
And I'm trying to remember that character. Didn't he
channel
like
Bert
some
Lahr.
Bad impression?
A bad impression of Bert Lahr.
Yeah, that's
like
what
the,
it was.
The Cowardly Lion. So another yeah. cat.
I've never been. And by the way, those are really damaging stories for celebs because you really have trouble getting it out of your head for a while when you're watching them on yeah. screen. So you know.
In 2004, Mike, I know you watched Blade Trinity in the theaters because you love Wesley Snipes.
Snipes. Remember that's when we used to have his phone number?
That was his answering machine.
Yeah, we used to have his answering machine, Josh, and we'd call it, and all you would get was like,
Snipes.
That was it. Beep.
You've reached the phone. You've reached the home of Snipes.
Well, Mike, in Blade Trinity, Wesley Snipes was so unhappy with his character, and he felt he was being sidelined by Ryan Reynolds and Jessica Biel, so he made everyone miserable, including in one scene, he was asked by the director to open his eyes. But he refused to because he didn't want to do anything the director wanted him to do. So later on, they had to CGI his eyes open in the movie Trinity.
Look, I think that it's easy for all of us in common man land mm-hmm. to, you know, throw daggers at these celebrities. But, you know, even on our clown-like level of mm-hmm. the business of show, there is the performance element. Is that what you're doing is going out to everyone.
Yeah.
And that is where the pressure exists. And, you know, it can overwhelm certain people. It can make people testy. Yeah. It can happen. But I think that it is something that you have to be mindful of, the fact that you're doing a job, like any job, and you're working with other people, and you have to take them into consideration. That's the way I'd look at it.
This one does not surprise me. No one liked Christian Bale on the set of American Psycho in 2000.
Well, we have taped evidence of him being an ass.
Saying that what he said is that he was intense off camera as well as on. I think that's a kind way of saying
it. Yeah, amateurs. Were that rave
oh,
out that he had,
hate
right?
That.
Yep.
Now, this one I can understand. In 1978, I don't even remember this movie, a Richard Pryor movie called Blue Collar.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember it?
I thought it was that a Gene Wilder one, too? I'm not sure.
I don't remember.
But I remember the name.
He said his addiction and paranoia were making the set toxic. Oh, yeah. And then he pulled a gun on the director.
Well, I mean, that goes without saying that somebody yeah. would be under the influence. And it's mm-hmm. sad, too. I mean, it doesn't just happen in the workplace. It can happen in social situations, too.
Mm-hmm.
I play golf with people who are... you know, that obviously like the sauce a little too much.
Sure.
And it can be troublesome.
We've never played golf. Mike?
You hit it so well, Rob. You hit it so well. You were so high functioning.
You will. Yeah, thank you. That's the nicest compliment you can give me.
There you go.
In 2014, this one won't surprise you. Shia LaBeouf. He was full method actor in the movie Fury, even to the point of cutting his face, having an actual tooth pulled, and refusing to shower to stay in character.
Well, he's troubled anyway.
Yeah,
and he's
he is.
Talked about how mm-hmm. troubled he is. And he was a child star. And a lot of times when they're child stars, they don't get the attention that they probably need because mommy and daddy are too busy shuttling them to the set to yeah. do
well,
that.
Type cashing of thing. Those checks.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's why that stuff happens. I think Shia LaBeouf is a naturally spectacular actor that mm-hmm. would have had a much, much better career mm-hmm. you know, if he wasn't doing that all the time. I like Shia LaBeouf movies. What's the movie he made with Tom Hardy where they're bootleggers in Appalachia? I think it's called Lawless.
Yeah, I think
it's called
Lawless.
Oh, my God, that's a great movie.
And his last name is French. It means the beef.
The beef.
Shia the beef.
Le bouff.
The next one, Mike, is the only person on the list that I went to middle school with, and he was hated in the movie Suicide Squad 2016. Jared Leto, hated by all of his coworkers.
And you don't see him as much as you used to. I always get him a little confused, just a little confused, with Walton Goggins.
Really?
Right? Aren't they both skinny kind of wiry actors?
But
right?
More hair and less forehead on Jared.
Yeah. Jared Leto. And yeah. Weird roles though, right?
Yeah, and Mike, this is
he's
Suicide
in that
Squad.
Tron movie they keep advertising.
Yeah.
There's a Neutron?
Yeah, there's a Neutron.
And I'm
really?
Just burning,
I think
Mike,
it might
doing
be a
the
Christmas thing.
Doing the okay. Neutron dance.
Jimmy Neutron, the animated feature.
Yeah, I went to a, you know what? I went to a virtual reality Jimmy Neutron ride, maybe in Disney, and that also made me feel queasy.
Josh, do you know what singing group did the Neutron dance by any chance?
I don't know the Neutron dance.
God, I love that song. I really
great
do.
Band.
Do you have it handy?
I'll bring it up. Yeah, I will, actually.
Oh, my God. The Neutron dance was the Pointer Sisters.
And, Mike, here's something
that
you might not know about Jared Leto is in that Suicide Squad movie, he wanted the rest of the cast to be freaked out by him as the Joker. So he'd send them gifts like bullets, dead animals, and get ready for this one, used condoms.
Is he your age?
He's exactly my age. Yeah, we went to 7th and 8th grade together.
Was he skinny then?
Yep. And okay. It's not like we were buddies. He was, you know what? He was like a squirt. He was just a little guy.
Okay.
And one thing about him that I do think is pretty cool, he bought his family home from when he grew up and gave it to his family. I think that's kind of neat.
Is he was he into the theater arts back then when you were?
No, he was kind of he had sort of a druggy feel to him.
It doesn't surprise me. Great. Isn't that a great word?
Yeah.
Druggy.
Druggy.
Do you like that guy? I don't know. He's kind of druggy.
He is a little druggy. Yeah. And Mike, hold on.
Everybody, Power 105, WAVA. Hope you're having a great weekend, everybody. Here's the forecast today. Hot. That's right. Temperatures in the mid-90s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a chance of thunderstorms on WAVA. I don't want to
take it anymore. Tight now, as
does,
a tick.
Does the fiber make it a little closer? Was I before or behind
you
a little
bit? You were dead on. I would, wow. If we were in an air check meeting, I would give you a plus
Hoo-wee.
On that. Hoo-wee. And they were also, they had. Was that from Beverly Hills Cop?
Might have been. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Soundtrack
good,
of Beverly
soundtrack.
Hills Cop.
Good one. Okay, Mike, this is sad. Burt Reynolds was hated on the cast by the cast of Boogie Nights.
I always think of Burt Reynolds as being joyful and bloopers and that type of thing. What set was he hated on?
Boogie Nights. And people say it was probably because he took the role because he needed the money.
Yeah, and he also was late in his career and
he felt the role was beneath
druggy
him.
Burt. He's a little druggy.
He is a little druggy. Remember when he released his the spoken word version of his autobiography, and it didn't sound like Burt until you sped it up?
Yeah, very sad.
But
very sad.
He felt the role was beneath him, but he did get an Oscar nomination, so maybe he was nicer after that. This one won't surprise you. In 2013, do you remember a movie called The Canyons?
No.
Okay, that had Lindsay Lohan in it. And she was in her nightmare period when she made this movie.
Oh,
and she was almost fired multiple times by the director. If you're the lead in a movie and you're thinking about firing you, you're bad because that means they got to reshoot everything.
Always thought she was a little druggy.
Yeah, a little druggy. Yeah. What would you give her druggy percentage at?
Back then, on that particular, that era? Remember the era of Lindsay when it was like a 90%?
Yeah. Well, it was, Mike, what we used to do is, out of a possible 10, how many hypodermic needles do you give her on the druggy list?
When you're in your early 20s and you're a girl and you sound like that.
She's turning it around now with Hallmark-style movies.
She does. She has survived.
She's got good stuff now with Netflix.
And Freakier Friday, is she not in that?
Yes, that was very good.
Yeah. Oh, it was very good.
Very good.
She's a fighter. We're behind you, Lindsay.
I hold in my hand the last person that was hated by their cast, and Mike, this really surprises me. Bill Murray.
Yeah.
But I can see it.
I can see that, yeah.
I guess, but I mean, I want him to be nice. It was Charlie's Angels in the year 2000. He was so antagonistic. Reportedly, Lucy Liu threw a punch at him, and he was replaced by Bernie Mac in the sequel to Charlie's Angels. But if you have Lucy Liu throwing a punch at you, you're doing something wrong.
I don't care. If it was Bernie Mac that was being a dick, I wouldn't care because he was just too funny. Oh, that's one that, boy, I tell you, he would have made some great comedy if he lived. He really would. Bernie Mac, one of my all-time
favorites. I'm so instantly brought back to Ocean's 11 when he's playing the car salesman. He says, you have lovely hands.
Oh,
you cream your hands?
Creamy hands. Oh, God, what a talent. Anyway, that's it. Thank
Those
you, Rob
them.
Spiewak. I
Those
appreciate
are them,
that.
Mike, yeah.
We're going to talk about a particular repair that, just add it to the list of why we are screwed as Americans, okay?
All right.
But first, the most magical holiday treat is coming. It's at the top of Oprah's favorite things list.
Thank you, Oprah.
CNN is in love with it. You can't turn CNN on without hearing about it. Everyone wants it. What is it? Well, I'll tell you, ass. It's the TMOS Family Cookbook. And here is your chance to get yours. Do you like the beef bourguignon?
I love it.
Do you like the idea of Mama O'Mara's famous brownies that
Are
she
you
makes?
Gonna make Shia LaBeouf bourguignon?
Yes, Shia LaBeouf bourguignon. Are you hungry for food? Is food something you like?
Yes.
I know a lot of people that take a little food every single day.
You know who doesn't eat a lot, Mike, are druggies.
Druggies don't. But we don't need them anyway, do we?
No.
Are you hungry for fun? The Mike O'Mara Show Family Cookbook is your ticket to edible excellence. Amazing recipes only available from us. Jimmy's Wings, I mentioned the brownies, Rob's Fruitcake,
yes.
Maddie Masiello's Secret Family Tiramisu Recipe, and wait for it, meat beans.
So good. A Spiewak family favorite.
Oh, that's yours, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've never, boy, meat beans.
Actually, it's Kathy's. Kathy brought it to the family, but it is awfully good during football season.
Meat beans. Be sweet.
Can you come up with a new name for that?
Nope. How would you like to guess the two primary ingredients in meat beans?
Okay, some sort of legume.
Yes, a bean. Yes,
and some sort of protein.
Mike. You've nailed it.
Good job. Plus dozens more. All the best, all for you. The cookbook will be in your hands before the holidays, and you can pre-order it now at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Be part of TMOS history. Feed the show. Feed the fans. Feed the family.
Feed the family.
The TMOS Family Cookbook. Order now. Order often. Yeah, order like 20 of them.
Mike, I'll be the first one to say it this year. They make a great gift.
Let me just tell you. Come into your device just a second. A little closer. I want to tell you something. I'm going to whisper here, okay? Folks, okay? Here's a little secret. You don't hear. We're dirty little whores. We're dirty little whores, and this is what we use to support the show and keep the show keep going.
Mike,
I
got to lean in and tell you this. It's not a secret.
Okay. It's part of the tier structure of how we finance our little enterprise.
And don't make us shed a tear.
But it's also a good product.
It's a very good product, said the man who is much more honorable than I am. By the way, we've been curating it. I was the first one to get all of my recipes together and documented and send it to editor-in-chief Josh Soroka at the Daily Planet. I put it in there.
Where?
At the Daily Planet. Thank you. And get the cookbook. We would appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay. Add it to the list. We, the O'Mara family, have made a mistake. As I mentioned before, we are space challenged.
Yeah.
I think I may have mentioned that we kept a couple of bicycles, family bicycles, out on the lanai.
Yeah.
And yesterday I ventured out after the show to inquire as to what it might take. Mm-hmm. To get the chain and some of the the parts a little lubed up and stuff like that, and when the guy in the local bike shop,
and that's what we decided you should go to, right?
We got something here.
Oh my God, I didn't even see it.
Thank you, Reese. You're so generous to us. We appreciate that. And we were on a kick there where we were getting the super chats, but that's a super chat from Reese for $20 because Reese is prickly. And if Reese is prickly, he wants you to be prickly.
I don't find Reese to be prickly. I found him to be pleasant and
nice. I think he's a very nice man.
Yes.
I have to say that this is on me. As I said, we're space challenged. A short time ago, moved the bicycles, the bicicletas, outside. Doesn't matter whether they're undercover or not, and they kind of were, kind of weren't.
Yeah.
The bikes are in rough shape, so all I want is to get them in working order.
Okay.
And
that should be simple. I mean, the mechanics are all sound. It might need some lube, maybe a part, but that sounds like they're in okay shape.
So I walk into this tiny little bicycle store.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy is working on a bicycle in his little shop. It's right there where you can see it. And he doesn't look up.
Did the guy behind the counter kind of look like this?
There's Jared Leto from my yearbook.
He's a cute kid. What a cute little kid, huh?
Yeah, he's short, though. Very short at the time.
And well, you were tall. You were like,
I was at that point, oddly tall. I was probably
5'10
by the time I was in eighth grade.
Good God.
I sent you a second picture too, Josh, where you can see he looks a little more druggy in eighth grade. That was seventh grade Jared Leto. But if you want to, you know, look at someone who's a little more druggy, you got the longer hair here. Did it arrive?
Yeah, it is coming up right now.
Oh, there he is. He's in a Def Leppard t-shirt. You can see that.
I don't think he looks druggy at all.
What about the guy above him, Adam Leader?
Adam Leader? Yeah, I thought it's Michael Kendall.
No, no, Mike Kendall will be on the other side because it's a long stripe of names. That's definitely Adam Leader.
Couldn't you see these two boys bullying little Rob?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
yeah.
Adam wouldn't have a chance.
Like walking down the hallway and the books come out of his hand. So I go into the tire, step on the back of my shoe. I go into the bicycle repair shop, and the guy doesn't. First of all, I hate a non-lookup. Like when you walk into a retail store.
Oh, you gotta be acknowledged.
It's like this. How can I help you? With that tone. How can I help you? Like you. Oh, sorry. Have I interrupted you by patronizing your business?
Sorry to help you out on a daily basis.
And I said, yeah, I've got a couple of bikes that have been outside, and they need a little lube, and maybe one might need a new chain on it. But, I want to get them back in working order, he said. So as opposed to saying, I would have to look at them first.
How old is this guy, do you think?
He's been in 30s.
Okay.
In order to, I don't know what the accent was, but it was a little Teddy KGB.
Okay.
In order to, to fix the bike, I would have to see it. By the way, I would assume from what you're saying, if they were outside, that the bikes have not been maintained. And I'm like, I already want to go like that.
He's belittling you. Do you think that it's possible that all signs point to it from the accent to the lack of business and the lack of interest. Do you think it was a front, the bike store? Was there gambling going on in the back?
No, he was there working on a bicicleta. There it was.
Okay.
Then he says, bicycles should be have a maintenance done once per year. And I was just like, haven't done that. Just want to get them working, dipshit.
That's the time to leave immediately because he's already looking down on you.
Yeah.
You're not this professional bike person.
He said, I can't give you any price. I said, well, can you? And the word I hate to, when I use ballpark, when I say ballpark it, I'm already frustrated, but I said, can you ballpark? So, well, we do a reconditioning for $195. I said, is that per bike? Yes. Well, sorry. Bye.
Bye. That's too much.
I mean, with all due respect, okay, if you're going to just put like oil on a chain and it's a uniform price no matter what, I think that's a ripoff.
I have a Walmart bike. I don't know the brand. Bought it at Walmart.
Kirkland.
For $99.
And?
So what Josh is saying is just fine.
Just go buy a cheap bike. You don't need a trek. You're not going down mountains. You're just going up and down the street.
I'm not, but I mean, I would like to.
You could get a brand new bike for less than it costs to recondition the trek. Could you sell the treks?
I don't know. Right now they're in the garage and they're not moving anytime soon. Both bikes have a problem with the brake. Where the brakes aren't, the squeeze isn't working. The juice isn't worth the squeeze.
Don't say that.
They have that. That's another guy that used to say that all the time.
At the end of the day, we don't say that.
Do you ever get that when you go into Washington? Do you ever get that?
Sometimes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I keep to myself mostly.
Okay. So anyway, you squeeze and it's a meh. It doesn't work. And then one of them, at some point, while they were out on the patio, the tube went. And I've replaced a tube in a bicycle before. That's $20-$21 or something.
Now, that's
like that.
The tube that connects the brake to the tire, not the tube
that's in the tire.
Oh, okay.
There's no tube that connects the brake. Are you that
Well, there's
daft?
A wire. Mike, I'm not daft. There is a wire that connects the brake.
It's not a tube.
Yeah, it's
well,
not a
it
tube.
Is
it's
actually.
A
it's a plastic tube that has the wire in it.
No.
No, yes. No, that would not be called a tube.
No, it's a cable. It's a cable that connects the brake.
It's a cable with a cover.
Don't you're not going to be able to punch your way out of this one. It is not. There is no tube in the brake mechanism whatsoever.
I shall consent to being daft. Then I apologize.
Well, there's also the tube that you put the seat on the end of.
Yeah, that's
the bike.
True.
There's another tube there. If we're going down Rob's logic of tubes,
the whole bike is made of tubes.
When is the last time you rode a bicycle?
When was Reagan's first term?
Thank you. Teed that one up.
Yeah, thank you.
See, there he is. Joy and frustration in the same break. We are going to have more show. Do you have some little things that you press a button and then the picture comes up and stuff like that, and people that listen on audio hate it?
No, they will love it because today especially the audio syncs up with every video.
That's exciting. Yes. I look forward to that. Listen, everyone. You have all heard about the incredible weight loss people have experienced with peptides. Absolutely. With these incredible prescription medications, people have lost so much weight. I personally dropped 80 pounds with these meds, and you can lose weight too. Here's the great part. You can do it from the comfort of your own home. You can, just by going to dermglowskin.com. Here's what you do. Go to dermglowskin.com, click on the weight loss button. It's right there. Choose your peptide. You take a quiz. A doctor will approve your prescription, and it will be delivered to your front door with the instructions on how to use it. At DermGlow, they know that these amazing products are not cheap. That's why they have three great payment plans, and they accept HSA and FSA. Don't miss out on huge discounts on select medications through the end of the year. Now is the time to stop the food noise. That's what they do. They do that. I can tell you that you don't obsess on food and think about it morning, noon, and night like I used to. You can feel like yourself again with DermGlowSkin.com. You only live one life. You deserve to make it the best. You owe it to yourself to visit DermGlowSkin.com, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry Time.
First National Radio.
First National Radio. The nation station is 60s on 6. XM Radio.
It's fun. Mike, do you have your explosions ready to go?
I always have my ordnance handy because I think it's important to stand by in case I really hate something.
Okay, well, it's been a while since this is not a video. This is audio.
Okay.
This is a parody record, and I think you're going to not love it.
All right.
It is about this time of year, at least up north here. It's getting a little cooler, and we're all enjoying our fire pits. Do you remember when we all got our fire pits?
Oh, nothing like a great
the solo
fire
stove?
Pit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's one that you will love. A take on Johnny Cash, if you will.
I get it.
I love to be outdoors.
You know, when I pull those,
mm-hmm.
I try to think, when is it going to blow up?
Did you predict that would be
better? I nailed it.
Simply because of the stupid lyric, I love to be outdoors.
Okay, let me cheer you up with a tape you will like, Mike.
All right.
I don't normally praise the country of Canada, but...
Hey! Yeah. I didn't mention that yet, Rob. Thank you for that. That's awesome.
The championship series.
Bye-bye! Bye-bye, Yankees.
In four games, and again,
they housed them.
Withstanding the Yankees' best punch.
That's awesome. Way to go, Vlad. That guy is a super stud. Vlad Guerrero.
Yeah. And then all the Canadian, what's that?
They walked Aaron Judge. I've been asking for it forever. They finally did it yesterday to get the win.
Vlad Guerrero, you know, it's one thing to be a slugger and a pretty thick guy that's muscular.
Yeah.
And, you know, you wouldn't think that he would be fleet of foot. But, man, he threw the leather around, too. He played a great first base last night. That's just, I don't know why, but I've always had a feeling for people from Toronto. I think they're good sports fans up there. And I wish the Blue Jays that are in our division a lot of luck.
The reason I love him is I have a sickness for the thickness. Mike, okay. There was a problem at the dollar store.
Was there?
Yes, there case, was.
You might want to root for Seattle.
Okay, thank you.
They got a catcher you'll like.
Is he a big fat guy?
Do they? Oh, they do. That's right.
Yeah. Well, his nickname is Big
Dumper.
Big
Dumper.
That's disgusting. That's really bad.
Jacked a lot of home runs this year.
Okay. Mike, here's the deal. There was trouble at the dollar store. Can't people just get along?
Witness says a fight over a NASCAR shirt in a North Charlotte Family Dollar led to shoppers being threatened with a gun.
It's where you are, Josh.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds so Florida-like, but it's almost like you brought the Florida with you to the Carolinas, Josh. Well, good for you.
There's parts here.
This all happened yesterday at the store off North Graham Street, and Channel 9's Joe Bruno talked to witnesses.
Mike, Joe Bruno
he joins us live. Joe.
There he is.
A bizarre but scary crime that started with a woman demanding another woman's NASCAR shirt and ended with that woman bringing in a gun, threatening everyone, and getting arrested.
There are bars on the windows of the Family Dollar on Graham, but customers and employees say more security is needed after a disturbing and scary situation Monday.
I'm very upset about it, and I'm afraid for those that are working.
Oh, she's not showing her face. She's scared.
This person who didn't want to be on camera is family of someone who is inside the Family Dollar Monday. She says it all started when a woman complimented another woman on her NASCAR shirt and then demanded it off of her.
She asked her to give her the shirt.
Family Dollar handgun.
Told her no, she wasn't going to give her the shirt.
That led to a fight between the women.
Nobody was shot.
Family Dollar bars on the glass.
What I love so much about that local news story is that he's in front of a oil-stained parking lot at the Family Dollar on Graham, and they put up live. Like, that's a big deal.
Yeah. Just my two cents. If you are in front of a Family Dollar that looks like that, you might not be in the safest area.
Yeah. Just, we have a Family Dollar here in Leesburg that has sold steaks for a dollar for a long time. The sign is still up in the window after years. I don't think I would buy dollar store meat.
Yeah.
I just don't.
What's your special today?
Steaks.
Mike, we'll close with two pieces of AI. I'll let you put them in the order because every day they just get me a little bit. Do you want to see a more modern politician or an older politician?
Oh, man, you're killing me. I don't know. What do you think's better? You got to make the call for me.
All right,
I have no idea.
Let's start with the newer one and we'll close with the other one. Here is the 40th president of the United States, Ronald Reagan, who loves shopping.
Here we are, the dollar store. You know, Nancy always said a bargain is a blessing if you can use it.
That's so
AI. Sponges look handy enough. And look at that, chili for $1.25. Back in
He's too animated to be Reagan. Reagan was mellower.
Yeah.
They updated the dollar store price to the $1.25 as it is now.
Yeah, the chili. Mike, what I love, and I think the best use of AI, is taking people that you wouldn't expect to see together, putting them in a setting that makes no sense.
I could watch
and then
this all day. I
making
swear to
a joke. Here is, let's say you walked into your local salon and getting a pedicure was John F. Kennedy and Martin Luther King. And John F. Kennedy tells a joke.
Why don't oysters donate to charity? Because they're shellfish.
Man, you're terrible.
God! That is, Rob, what a way to end the week.
I could watch them all day.
I really
I'd
could
love
keep them coming. Oh, my God. And that, unlike the Reagan, the Kennedy looked almost real.
The weird thing is, Kennedy is really hard to capture. He was a weird-looking guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like himself in paintings. He doesn't look like himself in wax museums.
Maybe AI. But
the AI captured him, and he's drinking an iced tea.
Wow. I love it. That's awesome. All right. Hey, folks, we've got a very interesting bonus show this week, so check us out. If you don't subscribe, you got to subscribe. Get there and do it. Share this episode. Smash the like button. Go to MikeOmeraShow.com and support all the stuff we give you, okay? We'd love you to do that. Keep the show chugging along. Buy the cookbook. Get a haircut. I don't care what you do. Have a nice weekend. That's what I really want you to do, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back tomorrow with a bonus show. I'm back with a brand new episode on Tuesday. Thank you for all your support. I truly appreciate it. For Josh Sirok and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara saying, so long, everybody.
Give me that NASCAR shirt.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara bonus show. Get it at MikeOmeraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, radio entertainment.
That's the kind of comedy we specialize in. Clean, unfunny humor.
So what do I want me to do, drop my pants and fire a rocket? What do I do?